Rabbi Yossimo.
And then Hashem amplifies it and makes it bigger. Okay, it could be mad if I'm listening to Geshmak already, but I have to share with you a Geshmak Shaila. Are you ready for a Shaila, which is Negea? I think is Negea more, becoming much more common, this Shaila. That people last year Sukkos, right, boys, imagine last year Sukkos, you go to the shop and you buy yourself a nice Sechach. And you put it on the Sukkah last year, Tavshin Pei. This year, Tavshin Pei Aleph, you want to sit in the same Sechach, and you have left all the Sechach as it is. You didn't touch anything, you're happy to leave the Sechach from year to year. You don't want any headache, you just want to leave it there like as it is. Is it okay to sit in the Sukkah without moving the Sechach B'chla? Why? So let's have a look what the story is. We know the Mishnah says that if a person motzah sukkahs, if motzah sukkahs, you already get busy and make the sukkah for next year, we paskin in the Mishnah, like we said, all that, it's okay. As long as you're mechavan that you're doing it for the next year sukkahs, that's fine. The problem over here is that since you're doing it for 1 year and it's going to last for the next year, then we say it's mevatalit. Now, the extra problem, the added problem in our case is that we use the room of the sukkah throughout the year. We use it for storage, for playing, for eating. And therefore, says the Mishnah Berurah, that if you have sechach, which has been left there all year, you have to pick up the sechach and put it back down. So practically speaking, it can actually be quite a big bother. It would mean rolling up, if let's say you have mats, so rolling it, bamboos, whatever, rolling it all, just practically speaking, just to pick it up. How are you going to pick it all up in one go? The problem is you can't just pick it up in three different goes, because it's not really called a hagbor. It has to be all up in one go. So really, practically speaking, you have to roll it all into a roll, right, from left to right, or right to left. Now it's a whole round area of schach, and then pick it up a little bit. Doesn't have to be three tvachim or anything like that. You just pick it up a little bit. That is considered agvor, and that would get you round this shaila. Otherwise, if someone has schach from last year, which has been on the roof, over the wooden beams, and left like that throughout the year, that would be a psul to eat there. And the sukkah, that's taka not mishmak, and Mishabura taka says that's no good. There's actually an opinion of the Machsheves Be'itza. Remember the sefer called Machsheves Be'itza? Thank you. The Machsheves Be'itza has got a few tshuvas to explain a few kulas about, notably about davening slichas before chatzos, but he's got one chumrah against the Mishnah Berurah. Listen to this chumrah. His chumrah is that if you plan to use the schach during the year, then it won't even help to pick it up before Sukkot. In the opinion of the Machsheves Be'itza, if a person plans to keep it on his sukkah throughout the year, it doesn't even help lifting up. You basically can't do it. In his opinion, if you're using sechach, sai for sukkahs, which is arai, and also during the year when you live there with kvius, that's not whole sechach. Now, fair point. So Rabbi Shimon is asking a poshta question. You're not using it. On sukkahs, you understand, you're using it, you get rid of the sukkah roof has gone away, so now it's cool that you're using it. But during the year, you're not really using it. Maybe it keeps it warm, or maybe even if it doesn't, so there are poskim, which that's already a debate about, if we can say that. But the Maaseh, the Mishnah Berurah holds that if you pick out before a Yom Tov, that's definitely okay, so that's one halacha to take into account. There's another halacha which comes into Hilchos Sukkah. I find it's very, very common with the indoor sukkahs that people are building extensions. What they do is they make extensions and they need to have three walls. So they can typically very easily get one wall. Just picture a regular extension where you've got the back wall is the patio doors going to outside. Okay, so they're going to make sure that they've got the doors closed and all. They know that halacha, you keep the door closed, you've got one door, you've got one wall right at the end of when you come into the sukkah. Then a lot of times you would have, let's say on the right hand side, you would have a wall, let's say you're semi-detached to a left side, and therefore the right side of the sukkah is wall number two. So you've got wall number two on the right side. Very simple. The third wall they can struggle with, and even if they do have a third wall of seventh fochim, it won't help unless the seventh fochim of the third wall extends into seven tefachim of where the sechach is. That means if the third wall is a tiny little area, tiny little wall coming out that splits the sukkah and the dining room, yes, you take a tape measure and you measure it, yes, 7 tefachim, 7 tefachim, you've got okay, you're fine, 7 tefachim, but the schach only started from the wall, let's say 4 tefachim. If you were to go by the schach, you'll see it's further away from the wall, 4 tefachim, in which case the wall only goes into the area of the schach only 3 tefachim. In which case, you have to make sure that the third wall, when we say you need 3 walls in sukkah, it needs to be that you've got a third wall which goes into the area of the schach 7 tefachim. That is mafurish and tor, and it's a very interesting halacha which comes up again and again and again. I've seen many, just this year, I've seen many cases of sukkahs where they think they've got a third wall. Shame I haven't got a picture here, but yeah, I think the only can picture it. You've got one wall at the back of the patio, then you've got a wall number two is, let's say, the right hand side of the sukkah. And you're looking at the coming into the sukkah, and then the third wall where they will struggle with is behind you, which splits the dining room and the sukkah. That can sometimes only be 7 tefachim. They think they're okay, but the maisa, it doesn't go 7 tefachim into where the schach is. It has to go into the schach 7 tefachim. That's a very common halacha to take into account. And one very interesting halacha is when you get a schach, and I think this is quite common when it comes to communal sukkahs. And we noted it last year, Anthony, remember this? Yeah. I think it's a very fair point. We looked into it again, and we saw that Saka is very chosh of halacha, and that is, the Mishnah says, if you want to make a sukkah on top of your agola, you want to make a sukkah on top of your sfina, you own a ship, you own a boat, you own a cart, fine, no problem. But it has to stand beruach mutsuya. Says the Gemara, on my bayah, it has to make sure that it has to stand beruach mutsuya. That's what the Gemara says. Says the Sfas Emes on the Gemara, Nistapakti, I've got a Suffolk. Doesn't mean that only the walls have to stand in a Ruach Matsuya. Or maybe even the Schach has to stand in a Ruach Matsuya. The Schach sometimes can be a very thin amount of Schach. A person can sometimes, especially in communal sukkahs, just put a little bit of Schach, thin amount of Schach on. In which case, if there were to be a normal wind, it wouldn't really withstand the wind. It would really blow off, blow to one side. There's been many, many shilas on sukkahs, so they wake up Shabbos morning, they come to the shul, and the shul sukkah, the schach, has all fallen off. That's one of the big shilas that happened the whole time. What is the schach doing moving in a ruach matsuya? If schach can move in a ruach matsuya, says the Sfas Emes, you've got a problem. The Mishnah that told you that the sukkah has to stand in ruach matsuya, it's possible that it refers to the schach. Now you might tell me, yeah, but hang on a second. My sukkah is situated in an area, an enclosed area, because I've got a neighbouring wall and I've got a house on one side, and therefore the ruach matsuya is protecting a potential blowing of the schach. That is not necessarily according to the Mishnah Berurah. That isn't a taina, because according to the Mishnah Berurah, discusses a wall where you have a wall where the wall can't really stand Baruch Matsuya, but because where it's situated it can, because it's covered, it's indoors, Mishnah Berurah holds that's not called a mechitza. Therefore, the point he wants to say, the Chutshani, Mishnah Karelis wants to say, if a person puts a very light, shallow layer of schach on his sukkah, mainly by shuls you see this, and if it were to be in an outside area, I don't know if you have to literally take it out to the North Circular, but you to an outside area, if it were to be in a front garden or something like that, in the street, then the schach wouldn't really withstand a regular wind. That, according to the Sfas Emes, creates a problem in Hilchos Sukkah, and that taka should be avoided. So it's kedai to either add a bit more schach so it should hold itself, or if it's tied down or something like that. That would be an interesting halacha to take into account when you get to the schach. Again, I think when it comes to a personal sukkah, people like to put a lot of schach on because it makes it warm. But it can happen when you get to communal sukkahs that this is negeir. Okay, Rabbi Yitzhak, I have to throw a few interesting halachas when you get to Tishbov. And when it comes to... Sorry, not Tisha B'Av, Yom Kippur. Mr. Shema Baal and Yitiv, they're a bit different. Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av, a bit different. Yom Kippur is an exciting day. It's a day which we're able to get rid of the Aviras. And there's two mitzvahs when it comes to Yom Kippur. It's always much more geshmak to fast than Yom Kippur. You feel like you're getting something. It's a mitzvah deraisa, it's very geshmak. It's a mitzvah deraisa to fast. And number two is a mitzvah to say deraisa on Yom Kippur. Is to do vidui. Do vidui. What is called doing a vidui? If I want to know that I've done two mitzvahs, I say the oraisa. Okay, eating, I know you just don't eat. But how do you do the mitzvah vidui? You say three words. The Rambam says, it's actually quite fascinating that the Rambam says it. Ikar HaVidui is that we say, Avol Anachnu, Avol, Avol Anachnu Chatanu. Avol Anachnu Chatanu. That's what the Loshon is, and it's brought down in the Ramah, Avol Anachnu Chatanu. Maybe some are going to be Machma Avol Anachnu Abisaini Chatanu. The Rambam is not even Machma for Abisaini. You don't have to mention Abisaini. Ikar HaTshuva is, Avol Anachnu Chatanu. We were zecher to have a baby on Erev Yom Kippur. And my wife was stuck there on Yom Kippur in the hospital. So I mentioned to her this, no chiv she can eat, because no problem to eat normally the day after, 3 days after, even 7 days against to do about it. But if she wants to be mekayim another mitzvah deraisa of tshuva, of vidui, what do you do? Try and stand up and say three words, Avol Anachnu Chatanu, that's it.
No mind, nothing at all.
Whether she did or didn't, I don't know. I have to find out. By the way, sir. Three. For the bench. Very geschmack. Rav Shimon's got a chap over here. That a person who just had a baby has got a chus to be Mekayma the Raisa, something that we don't have, something that she can bench. Yeah. That's an interesting chap. So that will maybe make up for.
Why is that Avol? Do you need to say Avol?
It's an interesting chap. They do read this, so they've got this interesting Avol. Avol Anachnu Chatanu Lemaisa, that's the Ikka Tshuva, and that with that Yeta, obviously the Torah says, obviously, we're Moisef, Shamno, Moisef Al-Khait, but the Ikka Tshuva is to say, Avol Anachnu Chatanu, that's all it is to say. Oh, okay, now the more machshava a person does, then the more it affects, but you should know Yom Kippur itself. Yeah.
More the rice.
Oh, so really, Pashas, Mr. Sriha's Kavana, you would need to have some sort of Kavana. It would have to be some sort of shallow, at least some sort of shallow level. At a shallow level, there has to be some sort of kavana. Yeah. Lamai says there's another halacha that there was a story in Gemara that someone was sitting near Shmuel on Yom Kippur and heard Shmuel saying Avol Anachnu Chatanu. That's what the Gemara says, Avol Anachnu Chatanu. But he stood up for it. So the Rosh says Mikan from here you see that when you say vidui, you have to stand up for vidui. And they explain because there's more hachno, there's more humility when a person's standing up, and therefore vidui has to be done standing up. Now you will see, that means the Mishnah Berurah actually says it's better not even to lean on anything during vidui. It's better, it's kedai not to lean on anything because vidui has to be done standing up. You might find some people saying vidui bent over, mamish like they do by moedim. That the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Shlo Taka, there's a mile of doing that. But he understands it can get hard. Therefore, he says, at least Yarkin Roisha, you do find some people Taka Noi. To do Azoi, that's a toy Taka. We're after humility, that will Taka be a Geshmaka Hidu. Listen to this Chumrah. The Ramban holds that the Ikka vidui, when do you do vidui? On Yom Kippur. What time of day on Yom Kippur did you do vidui? Throughout the day. Bit on by Mariv, bit by Shacharis, bit by Musaf, Nida, yeah. The Ramban holds the Ikka mitzvah of doing vidui is right at the beginning, precisely at the beginning of Yom Kippur.
More than a night.
As soon as Yom Kippur is about to begin, Shkia time, the Ramban holds that is the crucial time to say vidui. Why? Because the Ramban understands. And we're coming to that. Hit the nail there. That's what Mishnah Berurah quotes. It's very, very geschmack. The Ramban holds in Yuma, Ramban writes, that the purpose of vidui is to make ourselves clean so that when Yom Kippur comes and Zmechapa, we have a clean day throughout the whole day. Therefore, a person should make sure to do vidui as close as possible to Shkia as possible. And the Mishnah Berurah quotes this. Says the Mishnah Berurah. V'yesh poiskin shesoyvin. The Ramban. Look at over here, the Ramban. Shetzorech leis vadois, gam acha achila, koedim chashecha. Also after achila, also after suda amasekis, because we do it by mincha. So also after, v'roi lahachmi, kedei azu. Mishnah Berurah is telling you, it's kedai to be machla is there. V'chei nohagu, therefore we find, bizmaneinu we are noik, sha'oimrim oz tefil azaka, that you mentioned. That's where Zakah comes from. Where does it come from? Where it randomly is against Zakah? Because the Ramban holds the purpose of vidui is so that we should be clean throughout the Holy Yom Kippur. If you would say it too early, Asher's an Aveira between vidui and Shkia. I don't know. You have to check if there's Avol. But you should know. What's interesting is, I must tell you, that the Zakah, although we do say Zakah, more than often is that there's people that speak, you have the Rav that speaks, and usually don't get through maybe a quarter, maybe a half of the Tefillah Zakah. But really, the vidui of Zakah is really at the end. Therefore, if someone wants to be mekayim the Ramban, the Shlah, then either say the end first, or make sure he's got enough time for it. Again, or come a bit earlier.
So that's the main part of it when you moch other people. Is that
no, moching other people is a nice thing. No, that's to get a mile of the Gemara. Kolam moch al achim. The main thing that you want to do is vidui. Vidui is one of the big mitzvahs. Vidui is the main, really, on Yom Kippur, the mitzvah sayom. It comes to shofar. Rosh Hashanah is blown shofar. Yom Kippur is not eating, and vidui is the main thing of Yom Kippur. I've got to throw a few things at you over here. Very, very geshmak and nekudas. Ladies come to shul, and it's very commonly what they do is, they like neiros in their house. They make a bracha, very nice. They make a bracha. That's what a lot of ladies, that's the nusach a lot of ladies say. And they also make a shaykhiyonu, because of the yom, it's yom to make shaykhiyonu. They come to shul, and we, in shul, we get busy, we make a bracha shaykhiyonu, like every other yom to make shaykhiyonu. And upstairs in Ezra's Noshim, you've got the ladies say, some ladies are saying shaykhiyonu again, says the Bikiriak, says the Shatzion. You can't have that. The ladies have to know if they made the shaykhiyonu Mshas Adloka, they come there, and they keep quiet, and they don't say the bracha, they just sound Salmein, just like a regular bracha. Say Amen like a regular bracha, but they're not being yotza without that bracha. That's something else by Kiddush. If someone already says Shachiyonu, it might be Hefzik. That's different. No, because there's no Hefzik. She's coming to shul, she's hearing other people make Shachiyonu. There's no problem with that at all. That's a good chat. Yes, it's better to say Shachiyonu. Men are usually make Shachiyonu in shul. They leave the Shachiyonu. Yeah, only ladies have the money to make Shachiyonu. Yeah, shouldn't do by lightning, should attack the Yishma. That's an interesting point, attack a very Yishma. Talis, this is very common. It comes to Yom Kippur, and we take off the talis during Afsoka. There's a few Afsokas, maybe this year especially, it might be a bigger Afsokas, or maybe most of it will be Afsokas, I don't know. Yeah, but the Maisa, there's going to be good amount of breaks. You come back 2 hours later, and you see your talis on your place. Should you make another bracha l'satav atzis to start getting busy, or should you leave it and say, I already made a bracha in the morning? Yeah. It depends. If you slept or not. If you slept for half an hour, you make another bracha. If you didn't sleep, then it needs to be 3 hours. Maybe there is a break for 3 hours. If you have a break for 3 hours, you come back. Even if you don't sleep, you make a bracha.
So
either sleep, no, it doesn't make a difference. You sleep for half an hour, you come back and make another. No, you don't need to make another bracha. That's it, that's around here. If you sleep with it, that's also okay. Either while it's off, either you sleep for half an hour or you're mafsik for at least 3 hours, then that's what's mechayev another bracha, otherwise it's not mechayev another bracha. No, lav dafka. Anything that's already going to be a hefsik, that's good enough to make a hefsik. It comes to matzah tanis already, that's quite quick. And on your kippah, it doesn't go so quick. But so now we come to matzah tanis, and a lot of the ladies are waiting for their husbands. There is no chiyuv for them to wait to drink water. She can drink water. There's no... What does she need to hear? Havdalah. So for Havdalah, the halacha is they're allowed to drink water. So as long as it's nacht, she looks at the luach and it says it's nacht, then the halacha is she can drink water, no problem. Now to eat, she would have to make Havdalah. So for Havdalah, it's not so geschmack for a lady to make on her own. No. It's limited to water. The hetzah is limited to water. A man can also drink water. He can go out, No difference between a man and a lady. And it comes to a very interesting halacha. It's such a fight with the time over here. So we'll have to end off with a very interesting halacha, which is geshmak and nekuda. A lot of times you come home after the tanis and there's a challah waiting for you. Now there's a challah waiting for you because you plan to wash straight after Havdalah. Halacha is, Shulchan says you should cover it. Why? Because really, if you have a choice to make a bopri agofen or hamoitzi, the mechuyev to make hamoitzi, says Shulchan Aruch, you should cover the hamoitzi. Another halacha is, if you are planning to wash straight after you make Havdalah, you wash straight after Havdalah? Usually matzah tanis? You don't usually wash? What, do you have mazonos? So I'll throw another halacha at you. If let's say you're going to have a mazonos, right? Just one final one. You plan to have a mazonos, but what are you going to have after mazonos? You're going to have a coffee. You're going to have a drink, right? You're going to have a Coke. Maybe not. You're going to have it. On that drink, no shahakal. Because you've already made you've already made the Avdonah. So you have to make sure that because you made Bari Priya Gofan in the Avdonah, usually Malay Lugma, once you've had Malay Lugma, you're right, the people listening, if a person's there listening to your Avdonah and he didn't drink anything, obviously he's going to have to make a shahakal on his coffee, on his Coke. But the person who makes, once he's had,
I think after
Sukkot. I think after Sukkot. After Sukkot, Mr. Shem, right? No, Shem is also.